Why have psychiatric medications, such as antidepressants, emerged as the first line of treatment for young people suffering from emotional or behavioural disorders? And are these rising prescription rates justified by the clinical trial evidence? These are the main questions being debated by renowned psychiatrists and other health experts from around the world who are attending a two-day conference in the Vatican, sponsored by the Pontifical Council for Healthcare Workers. Among the participants at the conference was Dr. Joanna Moncrief, a practicing consultant psychiatrist in London, who spoke to myself, Susie Hodges.
I'm worried about it because I think it is a consequence of a fundamental misunderstanding about the nature of these drugs. The problem is that people are being told that the drugs are targeting or rectifying an underlying disorder, an underlying disease, whereas my position is that really there is no evidence that the drugs are doing this, and what we're doing is we're prescribing mind-altering substances to people to suppress and subdue their emotions and behaviour.
So basically, as you say, you're treating the symptoms rather than going to the cause of the problem.
Well, there's an idea that the drugs can target the cause of the problems, which I think is mistaken. I think in most cases the cause of the problems is better sought in someone's social, familial and personal environment rather than looking inside their brains.
Is it a case here that the pharmaceutical companies are thinking of their profits and that profits are rather beating ethics when it comes to this whole issue?
The pharmaceutical industry have definitely been involved in this trend of increasing use of psychotropic drugs. They have been basically promoting the idea that more and more ordinary human difficulties actually reflect an underlying brain disease, whereas, as I say, there really is no evidence that this is the case. And they've been persuading people that they need to take chemicals in order to function normally.
And what sort of figures are we talking about? In England, for instance, do you have any idea what percentage of the population has at some point in their life taken a psychiatric medication?
We don't have figures of that sort in the UK, unfortunately. But I can tell you that the number of prescriptions of antidepressants, for example, has gone up four times. That's 400% since the early 90s.
And is the message getting out to doctors and indeed also to patients themselves that this shouldn't be necessarily the first line of approach? Because obviously these are medications that you need to get a prescription for, so you really need to be targeting doctors, don't you?
You do indeed. And I think the difficulty is that with all this advertising and promotion by the pharmaceutical industry, which even though it's not directly targeting patients, is available on the internet to patients in the UK and Europe. It encourages people to go to their doctors with emotional problems. The doctors don't really know what else to do, so they prescribe them an antidepressant, even if they might also suggest therapy for them. So it's just become a vicious circle with people expecting drugs and therefore people giving them. And we need to break that circle at some point. And I think we probably need to target both doctors and the public as well with general information that actually these drugs are not helpful and they're not doing what people believe them to do. They are not rectifying a chemical imbalance as people have been told that they are. And in fact, we really don't know what they're doing. As I say, they're probably suppressing people's emotions a little, and that's all. So we need to get that message out there so that people know what they're taking.
Now, you talked about them suppressing their emotions, but presumably there's also quite often some serious side effects, especially if they're taken for a long time. What are some of those?
Well, my position is that it's not the case that these drugs have therapeutic effects and side effects. They have effects, and we really haven't studied these effects well enough. We don't understand them well enough. But as I say, the antidepressants, for example, do seem to have this emotional numbing or dampening effect. They also make some people very agitated and irritable and tense, and they do seem to make some people become very preoccupied with suicidal thoughts and sometimes take suicidal actions. So we need to understand these medications much better, and one of the reasons we haven't is because we've been preoccupied with this mistaken idea that what they're doing is rectifying a disease, curing a disease, instead of trying to understand what these drugs are as drugs. How is it that they alter people?
Are antidepressants the most commonly prescribed drugs, or are there others, for instance, like for children who have you know, attention deficit disorder, you know, highly active kids.
In adults, antidepressants are the most commonly prescribed psychotropic drug nowadays. In children, I don't know the specific data from the UK, but I would imagine that it's still the stimulants like methylphenidate and drugs prescribed for ADHD, which are the most frequently prescribed. But antidepressants are prescribed, and worryingly, antipsychotics are increasingly prescribed to children and young people as well. Worryingly, because antipsychotics have particularly severe and profound physically damaging effects. For young people and older people.
Presumably in young people, they're more vulnerable?
Young people are more vulnerable to many of the side effects or physical effects of antipsychotics, yes. They are more likely to put on weight and get diabetes, and some evidence suggests they're more likely to get neurological damage called tardive dyskinesia.
And what are you hoping that this conference will achieve? What are you hoping, what message will come out of it?
I hope that it'll give people a better understanding of what drug treatment for mental disorders really constitutes, so that they understand that this simplistic message that people have a chemical imbalance and need a drug to rectify it is misleading, it's not really doesn't have evidence to support it. And therefore, I hope that people will start to think about alternative ways to help people manage distressing emotions and distressing behaviours.
You wrote a book called The Myth of the Chemical Cure. I mean, presumably you were espousing these same ideas you've just been talking about in that book, or is there something else that you talked about in the book that we haven't mentioned?
The book is indeed about these ideas, but it's also about the history of these ideas and where they came from. And what I show is that we used to understand drug treatments as drugs, as mind-altering substances, and then gradually that idea was replaced with the idea that they have disease-specific effects. And that idea that they have disease-specific effects, that they target a disease or a chemical imbalance, came about because it satisfies the interests of the pharmaceutical industry, the psychiatric profession, and political interests as well. So my book was about the history of that idea.
When you say political interests, can you expand on that?
Yes, I think it's easier for politicians and governments to think that people's emotional suffering is located inside their heads and can be treated with a pill than to think that maybe there are social origins to the people's problems and that there need to be social and political solutions.
Another participant at the conference in the Vatican, whom I spoke to, was Dr. Pat Bracken, a psychiatrist from West Cork in Ireland.
Why have psychiatric medications such as antidepressants, tranquilizers, whatever, emerged as the first line of treatment for children and young people or adults suffering from emotional or behavioral problems?
Well, I think that it's a complicated picture. There isn't a simple answer to that or a single answer to that. I think a number of factors have come together, but certainly we have seen a massive increase in prescriptions for psychotropic drugs, particularly in the Western world, but increasingly now also in the developing world. It has to be said that psychiatry, my own profession, has been very much involved in an expansion of diagnoses of mental illness for perhaps situations where in the past a mental health diagnosis wouldn't have been used. Associated with that and involved with that, I think, has been the fact that various companies have made a lot of money out of this development, and the pharmaceutical industry have invested a lot of money in psychiatry in the past 20, 30 years, in research, in nurturing an environment within psychiatry where drug treatments are seen as the first and sometimes the only response to mental distress.
So, is it what we're seeing here is a case of profits that are sometimes beating ethics? You know, as you said, these pharmaceutical companies are keen to promote these medications, and of course, by doing that, they're boosting their profits, even if not always these medications might be or should be the first choice, particularly when we're dealing with younger people.
Yes, absolutely. I think the profit motive has been very dominant. But I think the issues go a little bit deeper than that. I think we also live in a very rapidly changing world. I come from Ireland, and when I was growing up, Ireland was a very Catholic country. The religion was very close to the hearts of very, very many people. And I think many people dealt with life's suffering, the pains and losses of life, through a kind of spiritual idiom, and their faith helped them greatly with that. I can remember from my own family, my mother, I was one of six children, we all had our ups and downs. She had a hard enough life, and her faith, I think, sustained her through many periods of loss, of difficulty, of worry about the future and that. Her religion gave her a sense of meaning and purpose in the suffering and difficulties that she went through. I think for my own generation, again, reflecting in Ireland, the position of religion is a lot less central in the lives of people. And I think there are opening up areas where people are looking for other solutions to life's suffering, the difficulties that come up, the sense of sadness and loss that are inevitably part of living as a human being. I think in our culture, we've tended to turn towards professionals of one sort or another for solutions. And in that context, it's not just drug treatments, but we also have now a whole range of counselors and psychotherapists and various people who administer to our emotional needs in different ways. But certainly, and one of the central things that we're concerned about in this conference is the way in which drugs have become a major part of that response. The problem with the drugs in particular is that many of them have very serious side effects.
I was going to come to that. What are the side effects, especially if they're taken for a long time?
Well, it's impossible to say that because there are a range of different medications.
Some of the main ones.
Yeah, the major problem, I think, we know that people with long-term mental health problems, particularly problems with psychosis, with serious mental illness, live on average about 20 years less than the rest of the population. There's a huge gap in the mortality rates for people with long-term mental health problems compared with the rest of the population.
Why is that?
Well, that's a very good question. No one knows exactly for sure. There are obviously lifestyle issues. I think psychiatric patients maybe smoke more, have less exercise, etc. But one of the things that I would be very concerned about is that some of this increased mortality may be related to some of the side effects from antipsychotic medications. And there is an increasing concern. I think I'm not the only psychiatrist saying this. I think the whole psychiatric profession is becoming increasingly aware of an increased level of diabetes, cardiovascular disease, obesity in patients on long-term antipsychotics. So I think there is a growing awareness in the profession that we have to be more careful with the use of antipsychotic drugs. And one of the things we're hoping from this conference is to raise awareness amongst, you know, a wider group of people that maybe there are alternatives to antipsychotics so that we don't start people down that route in the first place.
And is the clinical evidence for warning people that, you know, this shouldn't necessarily be the first line of treatment, is there clear clinical evidence for what you are claiming at this conference?
Absolutely, yes. I would be someone who would advocate strongly for what we call a recovery approach in mental health, and there's a whole literature now that has emerged. What I mean by a recovery approach is looking to patients themselves and their own networks, their own initiatives, in terms of finding paths out of mental distress. What the recovery philosophy or approach to mental health care emphasizes is that everyone is different and their struggles with mental health problems are different, and people find different paths that lead them out of a sense of being stuck in their lives. Sometimes those paths involve drugs, sometimes they involve therapy, but very many times they involve alternatives. They involve relationships, they involve spirituality, they involve creativity like poetry, or a whole range of other things are very important in helping people with mental health problems. And there's a growing evidence base that supports that. There's an evidence base that even supports the idea that the way we prescribe medication is important. If we negotiate with that with people, if we give them full information, if they have a sense of being in control of that themselves rather than being simply told take these pills and with very little information associated with it. So the whole notion of empowerment has become a central concern within the recovery approach to mental health care, and that's now, you know, really taking on around the world and is an important development.